Appropriate song for this passage, In Mansions of Glory. Most of the people that I know that work a Monday through Friday job look forward to the weekend. And maybe we've heard the vernacular, thank God it's Friday. Some people say that a little blasphemous, but I think we know what they mean by that. And I think all of you look forward to the weekend. We certainly look forward to the Lord's Day when we gather with each other to be encouraged in the Scriptures and to enjoy fellowship and friendship with other people who love the Savior. And the weekend, there's just a lot about it that offers an encouragement, especially if you're having a stressful week. You've got something to look forward to. Let's get through it. And thank God it's Friday. In the hardships and the trials of this life, we can look with anticipation and hope for something much better than the weekend, an eternal rest, an anticipation for an inheritance. The Apostle Peter, and I just appreciate Jack's introduction to that amazing fellow that God used. He wrote this letter to a church that was going to face a lot of difficulty and persecution and hard things. Nero, the ruler of Rome, an egotist, decided that he wanted to have all the glory of the city, so he decided to burn it down so he could rebuild it in his own name. But he needed a scapegoat for that, so he decided to pick on the Christians. They weren't too popular anyway. And he just started the rumor that they started the fires. And as a result of that, a severe persecution was started in this area towards these believers. Any believer living in Rome at that time, in that area, the future looked very uncertain and scary. Uncertain is a key word right here. They weren't sure what was going to happen to them. Peter wanted to encourage these believers and prepare these saints for the challenge that lay before them. So I've got a question for you as we just start to open up this book over the next several months. How would you encourage a believer when they face uncertain outcomes and difficult trials and suffering? What do you say to a brother that's losing his health, his income, maybe his family? What will bring comfort and calm the fear that we all face when we have illness and difficulty and hardship? How about the sister whose child grows up and walks away from the Lord and despises her because she goes to church and believes in Jesus? And then just the uncertainties and the difficulties of life that we're not exempt from. They come to all of us because we live in a sin-cursed world. Brothers and sisters, you need to be here on Sunday nights. This letter answers those questions. God has not left us without a word. You see, we have a salvation if we know the Lord, and we can't see it. It's invisible. We walk by faith and not by sight. And when life becomes painful and the present physical reality pulls at our heart and mind and it starts to challenge our faith, sometimes we struggle. The accuser of the brethren, the devil, he starts to whisper that God's forsaken us. He throws darts of unbelief at our minds and we start to question our own faith and our own stability and even maybe, does God really care? Does he really concern for me? Am I really his child? For certain, these saints in this first century Roman provinces, they were experiencing these struggles and these doubts as they faced a severe persecution and suffering. So what does the apostle do? He pens a letter. He writes to encourage and strengthen him. And he begins this letter after that introduction by praising God, the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for the great things that he's provided for his children. Peter wanted to focus their attention on specific blessings exclusively given to the children of God. These people were new believers, Gentile believers, and he says later about, this is my people. These are God's people, the identity. And there's a special thing that God does for his children. There's many special things. And in this time of uncertainty, he wants to tell them about certain things. In this time of change, he wants to remind them of unchangeable things. Things that are unseen right now, but they're going to be very visible soon because we're in the last days. Stability in an unstable world. So let's read the passage again, verses 3 to 5 together, and look at some of these wonderful things. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Peter opens this letter by praising God for this great hope that we have as God's children. And brothers and sisters, I'm trusting that the folks that are here tonight have received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And that same God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, the sovereign God, creator of the universe, is our Father as well, your Father as well. It's because we've received a spiritual birth, a new heart. You've been born again. You're in a new family if you're a Christian. Peter states that this is an act of God's mercy. Our regeneration is undeserved. It's a gift. It's nothing God owes us or that we can work for. It's an act of a sovereign and a merciful God that says, I'm going to take a people that I'm going to choose for myself, and for them to be my people, they need a change. And he, by the Spirit of God, comes in a mysterious, mystical way. He changes our hearts. We're regenerate. We're called to be born again. It's mystical in the sense we can't see it. It's like the wind that blows in the trees. What we deserve is God's judgment. We deserve God's wrath. For we all come into this world with no desire to have God as our Father. We don't want to be in His family. We want to run our own lives. We want to be the captain of our souls, as I've heard secular philosophers talk about. We want to be our own master and our own ruler and set our own rules. And then we have God, who in His great mercy, He interrupts our rebellion. He tackles us. He pulls us away from our rebellion and our rejection of Him. And He does a supernatural change within our heart, and He strikes us down, and He brings us low, and then He brings us into a new life called the new birth. We're born again. We become His child. Peter certainly understood that change. Peter refers to this new birth again in verses 23 to 25. Where he says, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God, for all flesh is like grass, and all of its glory like the flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. Think about this, brothers and sisters. In God's great mercy, He brings an imperishable seed of the gospel to our hearts. And as we hear that good news concerning Christ, the Holy Spirit moves within us and He causes that seed to come to life and germinate and create new life within us. And now, as we face challenges and difficulties and sufferings in this life, we can know that we have another life, an eternal life, one that's imperishable. Because it was born of an imperishable seed. A life that transcends this life. That continues beyond this present time throughout eternity. And as a child of God, I now have power in this life. The very power that raised Christ from the dead. That very power is what raised me from the dead. And as a child of God, I have an inheritance also. kept safe in heaven. Let's think about this one together. I'm God's child, and He caused me to be born again by His mercy. He gave that to me. And He didn't just give me a new heart. He gave me a beautiful inheritance that I can look forward to. He granted me all the rights and privileges of being a child of God, of being a son of God. Gave it to me. What cost? We heard about that this morning, the blood of His Son. But I've been given this beautiful salvation that I see very little of right now. And there's an amazing future guaranteed inheritance that can't be stolen, it can't be decayed, it can't be corrupted, it can't be devalued. It's kept safe by the very God who created it and gave it. I believe that inheritance is as much the Lord as is anything. We have the Lord with us here by faith and face to face forever. Furthermore, there's even more here. Not only do I have this guaranteed future inheritance that is God is keeping safe, this sovereign, omnipotent God of the universe keeps me safe and secure so that I'll be sure to get it. He not only protects my inheritance, but He protects me as well. All of this is guaranteed based on God's promise and God's word, which is imperishable. This is not something I earn or deserve. It comes based on His mercy. In this passage, we see that there's a day coming, an appointed future day, when He'll unveil this inheritance and this salvation, which is now hidden. By faith, we believe it's ours, and soon we will see it visibly and experience it. We will see Him face to face. In that day, we'll no longer walk by faith, but it'll be unveiled, not just to us, but to the whole creation. And God will unveil us as His sons. And the beauty of that will transform this creation and deliver it from the corruption. In the fall of Adam, God will restore this very world and this very universe as He unveils the inheritance to us, His bride. God's sons will be revealed to the glory of God. Every knee will bow down. Every knee will confess Jesus as Lord. Some to salvation, some to judgment. But the wonder of God's salvation and His inheritance that He's going to give us, He's going to display it to the universe for His honor and glory. And we are the participants because of His mercy. He chose to give it to us. It's a gift. We can't do anything to keep it. We can't do anything to earn it. He just chose to do that. So, how does this apply to us? That sounds good, Dave. How does that apply to me? Well, first question, do you know you've been born again? Do you have this inheritance? What are you facing when you die? Have you truly received this new life from God? Has the seed of the gospel been planted in your heart and come to life? If you're a newborn babe, you love the milk of the word. That's in here too. Do you hunger for God's word? Do you love God's children? Is there an evidence of life? If you're not sure, plenty of people here that would like to talk to you about that if you want to know more about it and show you from God's word how you don't have to worry about that and you don't have to question it. You can know for sure that you can have this new birth and you can have this inheritance and you can be a part of God's family. The invitation goes to all. I think I'm talking to mostly born-again people, so I'm going to end with this. You're God's child. And God tells you through this letter that there's a glorious inheritance that's awaiting you in heaven. God's also promised to keep you safe by His power, and He's going to carry you through to the end of that inheritance. He's guaranteed it. That means for us, as we face all kinds of trials and temptations and uncertainties and hardships and difficulties, we can be encouraged to persevere, to press on, knowing that this life is a blip. This life is temporary. This life is ending. But the eternal joy that's coming is amazing, and it's coming soon. Right now, I know Many of you are walking through a deep night of uncertainty and suffering. It seems like when we're sick and we're having problems, the nighttime is sometimes the worst. You wonder if it'll ever end. Right now, you might be facing an unknown. But in the midst of this dark night, you can know there's a new dawning of a new day that's coming. Morning's coming, but the cool thing about this day is when it comes, it doesn't go away. Night never comes again. Our Father has designed this life to test and try and to strengthen our faith. He uses this fallen world to prune us and to purge us and to prepare us for this glorious inheritance. He wants to maximize our joy in His glory. So He goes to work on us. He could smack the devil down. He could end every trial and tribulation right now. He's not without power, brothers and sisters. But He's working all things together for good to prepare us for a maximum joy and glory in His presence for eternity. And when these believers in Peter's day could see that as they faced the persecution and martyrdom, some of them, we can have the same confidence and joy and hope. Think about this. The capacity for His glory and fellowship for eternity is being forged through our trials. Just as Jesus endured the cross, He despised the shame of it, but for the joy set before Him, He persevered through it. We can follow in His steps and persevere through the difficulties and darkness of these days, knowing that one day soon we're going to see Him and then receive the crown of glory and be ushered into His presence, and that will be our inheritance forever. Just like a difficult work week, the weekend's coming. And I just want you to know right now that we can look at great hope and anticipation of an eternal life of joy and blessing in the presence of our Lord.